الله الله
إيدر
القابض الباسط الخافض الرافع المعز المذل السميع البصير الحكيم.
You're listening to Eidars.com.
الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وما آتاكم الرسول فخذوه وما نهاكم عنه فانتهوا، صدق الله العظيم. سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. دروش پڑھنے ہیں Respected brothers, respected elders, mothers and sisters listening at home, in our last session of Darse Hadith, an explanation of one very beautiful hadith was given, in which Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam had described his beloved daughter Bibi Fatima radiyallahu ta'ala anha to be an organ of his very own body. And this hadith was explained at length in the last session of Darse Hadith, and we covered that bi fazlillah. Another very remarkable distinction of Bibi Fatima radiyallahu ta'ala anha is something narrated by Hazrat Aisha radiyallahu ta'ala anha. And this hadith narrated by Bibi Aisha radiyallahu ta'ala anha is a famous hadith recorded also in the Sahih of Imam Bukhari rahmatullah alayh. In fact, it is the private conversation between Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam and Bibi Fatima radiyallahu ta'ala anha, and the narrator is Ummul Mu'mineen Hazrat Aisha radiyallahu ta'ala anha. A very beautiful hadith narrated by Hazrat Aisha radiyallahu ta'ala anha, describing the events in her own words. She says, "Kunna azwajin Nabiyyi sallallahu alayhi wasallam indahu." We, the wives of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, were in the company of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Now, this was during the very last stage of the life of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, when Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam had secluded himself in the chamber of Bibi Aisha radiyallahu ta'ala anha. What would happen is that all the wives would come and visit Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam in one room, so that it is much easier for Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And so this was during the very last stage of the life of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And Hazrat Aisha radiyallahu ta'ala anha says that all of the wives were in one room sitting around Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. What happens? Faqbalat Fatima. All of a sudden, Bibi Fatima radiyallahu ta'ala anha comes. Now, when we study the hadith of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, it was enough for Hazrat Aisha radiyallahu ta'ala anha just to mention that Hazrat Fatima came along, and everything ends there. And thereafter, just to explain the private conversation between father and daughter, Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam and Bibi Fatima radiyallahu ta'ala anha. But this shows the mentality of Bibi Aisha radiyallahu ta'ala anha, that she comes from a very scholarly background. Subhanallah. Knowledge was something that was intrinsic to her. It was part of her. She came from a scholarly family. She actually describes how Bibi Fatima radiyallahu ta'ala anha entered the room where Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam was resting. And she knew for a fact that by her words, quoting the exact description of how she entered the room, a lot of masail and Islamic rulings will be derived. And so in a very eloquent and beautiful Arabic language, in rich words, she actually describes how Bibi Fatima entered the room. And she says, مَا تَخْفَى مِشْيَتُهَا مِن مِشْيَتِ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ. Subhanallah. مَا تَخْفَى مِشْيَتُهَا مِن مِشْيَتِ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ. And in the Arabic language, al-mashyu means to walk, that you walk. And she is actually describing how Bibi Fatima would walk. This was the love that Hazrat Aisha had for Bibi Fatima radiallahu ta'ala anha. And basically, the way I would translate the hadith is, so that it's easy for us to understand, that Bibi Fatima radiallahu ta'ala anha was the mirror image of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam in walking. She was the mirror image of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam in walking. She would walk exactly like how Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam would walk. And Bibi Aisha says that if you were to picture Bibi Fatima radiallahu ta'ala anha and how she walks with the jilbab covering herself, you would actually picture Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam walking in that same manner. And so she was exactly like Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. A lot of resemblance between father and daughter. And in the hadith, Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha says, there is no one amongst the ranks of Sahaba-e Kiram ajma'een that could walk exactly, precisely like Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, except for Bibi Fatima. Bibi Fatima would walk step by step in accordance to the sunnah, like how the father would walk. Now, the words of Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha have been explained by the teachers of hadith, and they give two meanings to this. They say that the first meaning is quite clear. Being the daughter of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, naturally she was going to have a lot of her own actions and her gestures, and a lot of her postures would resemble Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And this is something that we can understand today. You'll find that a lot of the children, when they grow up, mashallah, slowly, when they grow up, they would carry the characteristics of either the father or the mother. Sometimes you'll note that if Idris is here and Idris has got his son, and maybe when father and son walk, you can tell that your son walks a bit like you. Example. Or sometimes the voice would match to the voice of the father. And there is a lot of similarity. And that is why Bibi Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha describes Bibi Fatima radiallahu ta'ala anha, that the most distinguishing feature that was visible, that everybody could see, is that she would walk exactly like how Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam would walk. And when Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam would walk, subhanallah, there was a lot of style, there was a lot of charisma, subhanallah. He was extremely charming and handsome when Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam would walk. Ulama have mentioned that the second meaning of what Bibi Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha had mentioned, they have explained to the students, ulama of hadith, is that Bibi Fatima radiallahu ta'ala anha was a lady who was extremely mindful and conscious of the sunnah of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Not only was Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam the father, and she had that advantage and opportunity to be with him at all times, but the fact of the matter is that she knew Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam was Khatamun Nabiyyin, and that he is the last and the seal of all the prophets. which means your eternal salvation is only if you follow the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And therefore she would want to imitate everything about Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, all the characteristics of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, how he would talk, how he would eat, how he would sleep, how he would rest, how he would walk. And Bibi Fatima radiallahu ta'ala anha wanted to be exactly like her father. Again, one very important mas'ala that we need to learn, a lesson for us, is that a lot of the times you'll find women feel that the sunnah acts are only for the men folks in this ummah. We need to understand that the sunnah acts of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam are many a times equal to all genders, be it male or female. But of course you have certain sunnah acts which are only for the men folks. For example, al-lihya, the beard. But at the same time you'll have certain sunnah acts that are only exclusive and related to the women folks of this ummah. So for an example, whatever Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam has said with regards to the masail, to the rulings of the women folks of this ummah, will be considered as sunnah. So for an example, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam has said that when women want to get out from their dwellings, and if they go out, they should cover themselves properly. And they should wear a jilbab. And a jilbab is this loose clothing that will cover them from top to bottom. So wear a jilbab, something that would drape the entire body, something that will not reveal the shape and the contours of the body, and it would be difficult for a person to describe that lady. And so she should wear a jilbab when she goes out. And so if a woman puts on a jilbab, this is considered to be the sunnah of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. If a lady can't cover her face by putting on the face veil, of course the face veil is not farz. The face veil is not farz. But if any woman chooses to put on the face veil, alhamdulillah, we know that this is also the practice of many of the women during the time of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, which also includes the wives of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. But Sharia, the laws of Sharia are not there to make life difficult for an individual. There is ease and concession. But to the least, a woman must make sure that at least the entire head section is covered. And so when she goes out, she has a lot of haya, there's modesty in her. And so that if somebody was to see her, would want to respect her. When somebody sees her, would want to respect her. That is the dress code for the women folks in this ummah. And this would be considered to be as the sunnah of Nabiyyu Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So a lot of the masail are only for the women. Whatever Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam has said is the sunnah for men and also for the women in this ummah. Khair, Bibi Fatima radiallahu ta'ala anha was an exceptional lady. She would want to follow Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam in all of his character, all of his characteristics, how he would walk, eat, sleep, talk, and even the advice that he would give, how he would be with Hazrat Hassan Hussein, how he would talk with his son-in-law, with the father. She would be mindful of the speech of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and she would want to follow Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Now this is something which is very, very important. That is why, my respected brothers, in the times that we live in today, it is full of fitna. Full of fitna. And taking control of your children is jihad. Taking control of your children today, that is considered to be jihad. And the best solution is, every day, 5-10 minutes, sit in front of your children. Talk to them. Talk to them about Jannat and Jahannam. Instill fear in their hearts. Talk to them about Jahannam. Talk to them about the punishment of the grave. Why? Because you need to neutralize the system. There is so much shaitaniyat inside. There is so much filth in the heart that Allahu Akbar, to take out to take out the poison that is there, you need to be very strong also in your approach. So speak to them about the qabr that is there. Explain to them and say to them that in the Arabic language there are two jeems. What are they? Two jeems. One jeem is Jannah and the second jeem is Jahannam. One jeem is Jannah and the second jeem is Jahannam. Not A for apple, B for ball. Jeem for Jannah or jeem for Jahannam. You choose, my son. Do you know what Jahannam is? Do you think PlayStation 3 is just a joke? Do you think your games and how you are and your school friends and your attitude with people and this very hot weather and everything that is out there, Allahu Akbar, all of a sudden if death was to grip you, what would happen? I'm not saying my respected brothers become monks and give talaq to dunya. Give talaq to dunya, no. Enjoy dunya in its rights manner, alhamdulillah. But with our children today, you'll find a lot of them want to rebel against the parents. And so we need to talk to them about Jannah and Jahannam. Explain to them that when you die, there is only two destinations. There is no third destination. Today in dunya we can say, okay, if we don't like to live in England, we might go to India or Pakistan or go back to Africa or go to any part of the world. Or if we don't like that part, we'll go to this country, that country. You have a choice in front of you. But when death comes to you, there is no choice. It is the two jeems, bus. You will either go to Jannat or you will either go to Jahannam, and that is it. The doors are shut. Instill fear in their hearts. Explain to them, talk to them, that the only people who will go to Jannah are the Muslimin. Put the love of Iman, Taqwa in their hearts, so that even if the father is not there, even if the mother is not there, there's so much Iman in their hearts that MashaAllah, they themselves can make the right decision. That they themselves would have ample love of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which is so important. That is why Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's tarbiyah was so awesome. So awesome. When Bibi Fatima came, whilst all the wives were there, Allah's Nabi was not even well. He was not well, he was ill, very weak. Despite the weakness, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stood up and he says, oh my daughter Fatima, come my daughter Fatima. And so good words will translate a lot of meaning in your life. It's a very powerful ingredient. Give them nasiha, and this is the hukam of the Quran, and Allah commanded Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, فَذَكِّرْ إِنَّمَا أَنْتَ مُذَكِّرْ. You do nasihat, your job is only to give advice. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, give us the tawfiq. And here we see Bibi Fatima radiallahu ta'ala anha would actually walk like Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because she knew that salvation in the hereafter is only in following the sunnah of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Brothers might have heard of Maulana Ilyas rahmatullah alayhi. Ilyas rahmatullah alayh, a great alim, a great scholar, the founder of the work of Tabligh Jamaat, mashallah. You'll find everywhere today. This is something that affects all of the masajid, and countless people are in this work. But khair, he is the founder, Maulana Ilyas rahmatullah alayh. And when you have such powerful individuals and scholars, and their sincerity is such that due to their sincerity, even the works are everlasting. It is said about Maulana Ilyas rahmatullah alayh that he would wake up in the night at the time of tahajjud, and he would walk from one end of his house to another end, walk. He would just start to walk. And this was something that the wife noticed, that he would walk from one side to another side, one side to another side. One day, he was questioned that why in the night you are walking from one side to another side. And he said that I am trying to practice what is mentioned in the hadith so that I could walk like Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Allahu Akbar. Can you imagine, my brothers? Today we want six packs. We want to look like, mashallah, wrestlers, and we want to be like the kuffar. Like the kuffar, homosexuals. And we want to put their names here. What? Versace? Kya naam hai? Homosexuals. All homosexuals. And we as Muslims are promoting homosexuality. These kuffar who hate Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. The filth today in Facebook, they want to draw al-iyadu billah, al-iyadu billah. They want to make a mockery out of rahmatul lil alameen sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Today we are shy from applying the sunnah of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and our children get excited by wearing the names of kuffar. Names of kuffar. I have seen some Muslims who put on a t-shirt with the logo of alcohol. Some teams actually promote Carlsberg. See? Carlsberg. When I was in South Africa, I remember there was one brother wearing something that had the name of sharab, alcohol, Carlsberg. I said to him, my brother, what are you doing? What is this you're wearing? And when you speak to them, they think that this man should be living in Afghanistan. They call you very extreme. So if you tell them that, look, you're wearing something that's got Carlsberg, they'll want to argue with you. Oh, this is not Islam. I don't drink alcohol. It's because of mullahs like you that make life difficult for us. What can we do in this dunya? Ribai, is this what you want to do? Put Carlsberg? Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Let us be, mashallah, proud of what we already have, what Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam has already given us. Bibi Fatima would walk like Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. She took time out, and that is why Bibi Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha understood that, and she praised Bibi Fatima, and she said, مَا تَخْفَى مِشْيَتُهَا مِن مِشْيَتِ رَسُولِ sallallahu alayhi wasallam. That when Bibi Fatima would walk, it was like as if Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam was walking. And today we want to walk. How do we walk? Allah says, وَعِبَادُ الرَّحْمَانِ الَّذِينَ يَمْشُونَ عَلَى الْأَرْضِ هَوْنَا. And the servants of Rahman, the gracious one, Allah, the gracious one, Allah. When they walk on earth, they walk hauna. Hauna means with humility, sedateness. They walk with humility and sedateness. And hauna is the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Just to give you an insight of how Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam did walk and what is mentioned in the ahadith. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam walked elegantly, majestically. Ibn al-Qayyim al-Jawzi in Zadul Ma'ad, what an awesome kitab of Siratul Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. In Zadul Ma'ad he says, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam walked in a dignified manner without shaking his shoulders. What we need to understand is, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam was blessed with a lot of miracles. A lot of miracles. And even in his walking, there were many miracles that the companions had witnessed. One such miracle in the Arabic terminology is known as Tayyul Ard. Tayyul Ard. Tayyun in the Arabic language means, in Urdu it means lapetna. And in English it means to fold. When you fold something, it means that you are minimizing it. You are trying to minimize the length and the width of that item. So you fold it. And so when you fold something in Arabic, it means tay. And tayyul ard means the folding of the earth. The folding of the earth. Now, what is meant by the folding of the earth for Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam? This miracle that was given to Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam was also given to Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. For an example, in the Sunan of Imam Tirmizi rahmatullah alayh, Hazrat Abu Huraira radiyallahu ta'ala an narrates a hadith, and he says that I have never seen anyone who could walk naturally and at a very fast pace like how Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam would walk. I have never seen anyone who walked naturally, very, very fast, like how Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam would walk. And then Hazrat Abu Huraira says, it seemed as if the earth beneath the feet of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam was folded for him. The earth beneath the feet. You see, every step of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, even the earth would show respect. Subhanallah. And this is not an ordinary step. This is the step of the greatest man, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And it was as if though the earth from beneath was being folded for Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And he says that we don't understand. We would walk with Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and in a short while Allah's Nabi would be right in front of us, and we would receive fatigue, and we would be tired, and we would look at each other. Allah's Nabi is there and we are here. Allah's Nabi is there and we are here. Subhanallah. And this is again the mu'jiza of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And Hazrat Abu Huraira says, and saying that, Hazrat Abu Huraira is saying, and saying that we would notice that Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam would only walk at his natural pace. This was just his natural pace, not even in a rush, just a natural calm pace, walking slowly. And Allah's Nabi would be at a distance, whilst we were at the back, and we would be tired. And so this is the mu'jiza of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that in a few hours, some of the Anbiya alayhim salam would cover great distances. Now the same miracle was also given to Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam, his father. Ibrahim alayhi salatu was salam was born in southern Iraq, in a place called Ur, in southern Iraq. And Ibrahim alayhi salam, when the noble mission of Tawheed was given to him, Anbiya alayhim salatu was salam would travel the world. And so he traveled the northern part of Iraq, going all the way up from Iraq, going towards Philistine, Syria, that part of the zone. And then obviously he even went to Egypt, where Hazrat Hajar was given to him. And he also had entered the Arabian Peninsula, the city of Makkatul Mukarrama. Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu was salam was blessed with two families. How many wives did he have? Two wives. The first wife was Hazrat Sarah. From Hazrat Sarah, Allah blessed him with Hazrat Ishaq alayhi salam. And the second wife was Hazrat Hajar, not Hajra, Hazrat Hajar. Hazrat Hajar alayhi salam. And from Hazrat Hajar, Allah blessed him with Hazrat Ismail alayhi salam. And it is from Hajar, that is where you get the Arabs from that part of the region, and then you had the Aslul Arab that were living there, and the Qabail that were there, who settled with Hazrat Hajar alayhi salam in Makkah. Khair, the question is here that Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam was an excellent father and an excellent husband. He was an excellent father and an excellent husband. And so for someone to be as excellent as Ibrahim alayhi salam, what had happened is that one family was living in Philistine. Hazrat Sarah and Ishaq were living in the zone of Philistine, and the other family was living in the Arabian Peninsula, in Makkah, in the desert. Now both the zones were at a good distance. Here is Philistine and here is Makkah. Here is Philistine and here is Makkah. It's a good distance. Now in those days you didn't have the modes of transportation that we have today, speed, fast cars, aeroplanes, we didn't have that. Subhanallah, camelbacks, horses, people would walk. That was the way in the time of Ibrahim alayhi salam people would travel. But it is said that Ibrahim alayhi salam was a concerned father and a concerned husband that he would frequently visit both the families. Both the families. And that is why you'll find that a lot of the women suffer whose husbands work out for a long period of time. And you'll find that the husband is gone for about 2 months, comes back to the wife and stays with her for a few days and 3 days and 4 days and goes out. What kind of a life is that, my respected brothers? Is that any life? That you are not even around your own children and you're not even around your wife? Allahu Akbar. Family means to be close together, to sit together, to eat together, to understand each other, to understand the condition of the children. And that is why when the husband is far away, sometimes you'll find a lot of betrayal and treachery that comes from the woman. And you will even find betrayal and treachery that comes from the husband. And this is what the shaitan does. And so we need to make sure that not for a long period of time the husband goes away. Look at Ibrahim alayhi salam. Where is Philistine and where is Makkah? But ulama have mentioned Allah had blessed him with one mu'ajiza, which is called Tayyul Ardh. 1 month of travel could be covered in 11 hours. Javed, is there anything like that today? Quite difficult. Eh? Well, of course we have planes and all that, but subhanAllah, in those days, and this is just speculation. Allah can bring Ibrahim. Look at Mi'raj. There's no concept of time with Mi'raj. But for Ibrahim alayhi salam, in the morning he would leave and he would say to Sarah, I am going. And he would be knocking at the door of Hazrat Ismail alayhi salam. That's in Makkah. And he would look at the condition of his son Ismail, Hajar, visit them, provide for them. Why? Because the Quran speaks volumes about both the families. It was virtually impossible for Ibrahim alayhi salam to discard one family and to stay with one family. Both of these families are involved in major incidents. In the Quran, a lot of activities happening around the two families. Look at Ibrahim alayhi salam with his son Hajar and Ismail alayhi salam building the Kaaba. Rabbana taqabbal minna innaka anta as-sami'ul alim, building the Kaaba. And with Ishaq alayhi salam, a lot of events had taken place. So one minute he was in Makkah and the other minute he was in Philistine. And generally when he would visit the families, he would go alone. He would also go alone. So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 steps and he's crossed the boundary of Jeddah and he has entered the city of Makkah. MashaAllah. MashaAllah. And 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 steps and he is now in Philistine. Concerned father. Concerned husband. Making sure he knows exactly what is happening in the house. And the same, in fact, to a higher degree of miracle, mu'ajiza, was given to Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam because he was the greatest Nabi, even greater than his own father, Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. And this was something witnessed by Sahaba kiram ajmain. They could never ever walk with Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And so in one hadith, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to the companions that try not to walk behind me. Try not to walk behind me. Da'u zahri lil malaika. In the hadith it comes, da'u zahri lil malaika. Leave my back for the group of angels that walk with me. Allahu Akbar. And he said, leave my back for the group of angels that escort me, that walk with me. And so at all times, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would be accompanied with a group of angels. And so he would say, don't walk behind me, because there are malaika that walk behind me. Subhanallah al-Azim. And Hazrat Abdullah ibn Abbas radiyallahu ta'ala an says, that Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would walk generally. Allah's Nabi would walk rapidly. How would he walk? Rapidly. He would not walk sluggishly. He would not walk sluggishly. Allah's Nabi would walk carrying his entire body. Subhanallah. And Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala an says, describing the walk, Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala an says that Allah's Nabi, when he would walk, he would slightly incline forward. He would slightly incline to the front part, slightly the front section was a bit forward, as if someone was descending from a high slope, as if somebody was descending from a high slope. And so the front section was slightly inclined forward. Subhanallah. And ulama have mentioned that this kind of walk portrays inner strength of a person. It portrays inner strength of a person. And so this is the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And just to quickly cover some of the different categories of walks that the ulama have mentioned. Allah give the ulama jazai khair. What have they not done, my respected brothers, the scholars of hadith? And they give us a list of how people walk. How people walk. And so, guys, are you prepared to listen? See which bracket you fall into. Okay? One type of walk, the best walk is the walk of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. With a lot of practice, a person can achieve that. And you'll find that some people, when they walk fast, it's not the best spectacle. It's not the best spectacle. Sometimes it's not something that a person would admire, walking so quickly. But in the case of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he was the most charming when he would walk. The most charming. Allah's Nabi's walk was completely different. Subhanallah. And so you have different kinds of walk. So for example, one walk is the walk which is known as sa'i. Sa'i. And in the Arabic language, sa'i means to walk at a fast pace. To walk at a fast pace. And that means, generally you will find that sa'i is performed when you do tawaf of the Kaaba, that people walk quite fast, if they can, when they are doing tawaf. And also, the walk between Safa and Marwa is also known as sa'i. So sa'i actually means to walk at a fast pace. So this is one style of walking. The second style of walking is known as ramal in Arabic. Ramal or khabbab, both are equal. Ramal or khabbab. And Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala an says that we saw Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam in the first three rounds of the tawaf walking in the khabbab manner. Walking in the khabbab manner. And what does that mean? Khabbab or ramal, both are the same. It means that to walk at a fast pace, but with short steps, but with small steps. To walk at a fast pace, but with small steps. And so you'll find some people walk like that. And so this is known as ramal. And another walk is known as naslan. Naslan. In the hadith, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, at the time of Hajj, some of the companions were a bit tired. And Allah's Nabi said that when you walk, you can even walk ista'inu bin naslan. Ista'inu bin naslan. Naslan means to jog with ease. To jog with ease. Naslan means to jog with ease. And some of the companions were told during the time of Hajj just to walk a bit quick, like when one is jogging, but not jogging as such, jogging with great ease. And so this would be something that would be comfortable for the companions, they would not get tired. And so this is also one manner of walking. Another manner of walking is al-khawzala. Al-khawzala, which is not the right walk. Ulama have mentioned khawzala entails a man when he walks, he moves his body. He moves his body and he does a lot of actions like how the queers would do. Huh? Like how you'll find a lot of the feminine structure in a male, and a lot of actions that are done. You don't want me to do any actions for you, do you? And so, al-khawzala is that type of walk. And the ulama have mentioned that this type of walk is haram. To walk like a queer. You don't walk like that. You know, if Allah has given you the strength, mashallah, you're a man, then walk like a man. And another type of walk is known as kahkara. Kahkara. And that means, you'll find, if somebody was to walk backwards, or he can't walk straight, and he's always moving to one side, right or left, and this is also known as kahkara. And another walk is known as jazama. Another walk is known as jazama. And jazama means to walk as if somebody is jumping. Consecutive jumps. And you'll be surprised, people have different styles in walking. So when he's walking, you'll feel that this man is actually jumping. And then you have another type of walk which is known as at-tabakhtur. And tabakhtur means the walk of those who show arrogance. A lot of people show arrogance, and when they walk, you can just tell that this man is full of himself. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he would walk rapidly, and he would not put himself completely forward, not to bend over like that, but to slightly inclining himself to the front, slightly inclining himself to the front, as if somebody is going, descending down a slope. And that way, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would walk. Allah's Nabi would not turn right or left to see what is happening. And that is how Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would walk. He would not walk sluggishly. Sometimes you'll find when people walk, they drag their legs as if they've got a load of sticks that they are carrying. And sometimes you'll find people walk like camels that are very, very angry. They are not just settled. And this is what the Arabs have mentioned in their books. And so this is just a translation for you. So you have different categories of how people walk. And the best walk is the walk of Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq. Inshallah, there's so much to cover about this great woman in Islam, the daughter of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Bibi Fatima radiyallahu ta'ala anha. Inshallah, in the next few sessions we'll cover that. Wa akhiru da'wana and alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Allahumma salli ala sayyidina wa nabiyyina wa maulana muhammadin nabiyil ummi wa ala alihi wa sallim taslima. Allahumma taqabbal minna wa tuba alayna innaka anta tawwabur rahim. Sami'na wa ta'ana gufranaka rabbana wa ilayka al-masir. Bi rahmatika ya rahman rahim.